And I do strip myself of confidence in my preparation alone. I ask you for fresh mercy to enable me use that preparation. And on top of it, Lord, your help. Lord, to enable me, Lord, to preach and teach and deliver your word with fresh unction from your throne in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, there will be fresh unction, fresh power upon my heart, upon my lips. Let that same unction be upon the ears and the hearts of my brethren. That it will accomplish an eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. Making our wills more submitted to your will. Our minds further illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Our emotions further controlled and tempered by the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, this eternal work will be accomplished in every heart. Let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be opened. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let miracles be established in us and for us in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth this evening in the name of Jesus, I ask that you help me, Father. Help me to be concise. Help me to be precise. So I'll redeem the time. Not saying unnecessary things, but Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, teaching those things both new and old that will cause your will to be done in the name of Jesus. In particular, Father, I come to duck under the covering of my spiritual fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah. Lord, help me. And as I go into this time of sharing your word, Lord, this opportunity that they've given me, Lord, I receive a fresh unction, their mantle upon me to enable me to teach and preach this word beyond my natural ability. So that, Lord God, Lord, it will be a blessing unto them, it will be a blessing unto my brethren, and your soul will find pleasure in all that we do and say in this time in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for doing more than we can ask. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm glad that you're in the house of God tonight. Amen. That's our prayer. That's our heart cry. Amen. Today, the Lord has laid upon my heart a word, and I've entitled it, Sons of Promise. Pastor Dewey was preaching on Sunday and was talking about sons, you know, and what sons are and who they are, talking about servants and sons and children, you know, and the Lord helped me to work on this. I'd done this well before that time, but there was something, you know, just, I think what Pastor Dewey shared just sparked off something, you know, and I went ahead and looked out for it and, you know, the Holy Spirit breathed on it, and that is what we have today. Sons of promise. You know, we are sons of promise. We have that qualification of promise is very important in that the becoming a son is a promise God has made. Amen. I know in the Bible you have the law and you have the promise. The law requires that you do certain works, but the promise requires that you use your faith. And many times, sometimes they seem opposed to one another. You know, and it's important to understand that inheritance is by faith. It's by promise. It's not something you can earn. It is something that God has to make help you to fulfill. Amen. And if we let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6, King James Bible, verses 17 to 20. Hebrews chapter 6. All right, let's read together. Say, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, note that term, the immutability of his counsel. That simply means the unchangeability of his purpose, of his will. Okay, all right. Confirmed it, that is the promise, by an oath, that by two immutable things. What are the two immutable things? One, the promise to the oath, okay, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we, that's talking about you and I, might have what? A strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So there's a hope set before us. And the Bible describes a scenario that we are, as it were, in a hiding place. We are in a place of refuge. We are in a place, so there are forces and beings that want to see to it that we don't inherit the promise. But we are going to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And so it says, which hope, let's read together, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. So what he's saying is, God is saying that, look, we're heirs of promise. We have a promise to inherit, and there's a hope God has set before us to inherit that promise. What is the promise? 1 John 2:25. What is the promise God has given us? 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. Thank you. Let's read together. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. So eternal life is the promise. What did God promise us? A total change of nature. God promised us a total change of nature. Now that nature is going to produce different things. Ultimately, the glory of God. But what he has promised is a change of nature. And it's important for us to understand that. Okay. All right. So we see that God has made us a promise, you know, and this promise we have to, he's keeping us in a place of refuge so we can lay hold upon the hope that has been created by this promise. What is that hope? Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. So we see that the promise is eternal life. We see that we're following Jesus, who is a forerunner. We see that Jesus has entered beyond the veil. So we are following him, and ultimately we are following him to have the fullness of eternal life. Bible says, I am come that they might have life, and then might have it what? More abundantly. It's the promise. It's still the same promise. Amen. All right. Okay. So we now see. So what does that promise produce? Look at it in Colossians chapter 1. Let's turn to verse 27 and 28. To whom God would make known, that is talking about us, the Gentiles now, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, let's read it together, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Now, this is the hope that God has set before us. It's the hope of glory. If you can receive Christ in you, in his fullness, it qualifies you for glory. That's the promise. And it's a fantastic, the Bible talks about exceeding great and precious promises. Okay? So, the other promise of prosperity is a promise to become like God. Now, on the way, there will be prosperity. Amen. On the way, there will be deliverance. On the way, there will be blessing. Amen. On the way, there will be divine guidance. But ultimately, the promise is to become like Christ in his fullness. Okay? And that's what the Bible says. Okay? So let's read verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. It means God is going to take account. That's why it says warning. It's not, I mean, it's optional, but at the same time, it's compulsory. Because at the end, God is going to ask you, did you get the promise? So, we have our free will, and you can use your free will any way you wish to use your free will. But what God is saying is that he has created all men on the face of the earth to have this promise. And at the end of, that's why it says warning. You warn when there is a repercussion, a negative repercussion for not doing whatever. So when the person has to do what he has to do, it's not a suggestion, even though he allows you to have your free will. It's not a suggestion. Otherwise, then it's not a warning. If I have, if I like, I can take it. If I like, I don't take it, then you don't hold me. But if it's going to hold you accountable, then Bible says choose life. Thank you, sir. Bible says I have said before the life and death. So really, What he's saying, that's why he says warning every man. And then let's read it together. And teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Don't let them discourage you. This is why we have fled for refuge. They say perfection is not possible. It's a lie. Bible says, this we wish, brethren, in 2 Corinthians 13, even your perfection. The Bible says, if any man will keep my word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Who said it was not possible to be perfect? It's the devil. It is the will of God for us to be perfect. Amen. And we are going to be. Amen. God has already finished the work. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. We're going to be. Amen. So God has prepared a place of refuge for us where we're going to be perfect like Jesus is perfect. Amen. Believe it. So he's preserving us in that place of refuge from premature death. He's preserving us from satanic oppression, from discouragement, from distraction, from anything that can prevent us from getting that promise. That's why the Bible says that we have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope. So like Pastor Wally was saying yesterday, you have to keep seeing something. We look at Nigeria, you know, you can be despondent. You have to find a place of refuge. Amen. Amen. That place of refuge is here. The hope is the helmet of salvation. You put that helmet around your head. You set your face on that hope. So you become impervious to anything Satan is doing and very receptive to what God is doing. And then by the force of spiritual arms, you change what we see from what we cannot see. Because we know that the things that we cannot see are the ones that dictate, control, shape the things that we can see. Amen. Amen. So this is why God has made a place of refuge for us. That hope is a place of security. It's a place of protection. Will you protect your mind? You don't allow your mind to just wander and look to the right and look to the left of what Satan is doing. You keep your eyes on the hope set before us. So we must resist every hindrance that is seeking to prevent us from laying hold on this hope. Now, it's good to say this, that Pastor teaches us, and it's good to mention it again, that perfection is a spiritual state. So it's a state where the sin nature in our souls, you know, when we get born again, the sin nature has been removed from our spirits, but it is not removed from your soul, which contains our minds, our wills, and our emotions. So your thinking is essentially the same, even though the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation, all things are passed away, all things are become new, okay? So all things are become new in the spirit. Now, it is the will of God for us to use that nature that we have in the spirit to remove the sin nature in the soul and in the body. And that state where the nature in the spirit is of God, eternal life, the nature in the soul is of God, and the nature in the body is of God, is called perfection. Amen. Amen. That's the Bible teaches us that. The Bible says, no, I cast out devils and adjudicators, and the third day I shall be perfected. Okay, so we see that perfection is a state. It does not mean you cannot sin. Adam was perfect and he sinned. Jesus was perfect and he did not sin. Okay, so, but it is a state. So it's essentially, you must start thinking in nature and not so much as in conduct. It's the nature that produces the conduct. So when the nature is there, then you can then do the conduct. Amen. So that's the will of God. Okay. And you know, we are able to achieve this perfection by following spiritual fathers whom God has set in the church on that way of perfection. Amen. Okay. You practice the principles, what they teach, the principles of perfection. We call them seven pillars. Briefly, they are honesty and humility of heart. Okay. Binding the devil, then praying in the spirit, confessing the word, meditating the word, doing the word, and then fasting and leading a fasted life. And that pillar number 7, you know, forms a cycle because it leads back to pillar number 1. Bible says, I humbled my soul with fasting. So pillar number 7 leads you back to pillar number 1. So it forms a cycle. Amen. So it's a cycle. So the honesty brings the grace to pray, to bind the devil, to confess the word, to meditate the word, to do the word, and to walk, to practice fasting and prayer as a lifestyle. And that takes you back to honest and meditation. So it forms a cycle, you know, and that is how we cleanse ourselves. That's how we grow. Now this perfection principles, you know, produce the manifestation of what the Bible calls the man-child. Amen. Bible talks about the man-child in Revelation chapter 12. Let's look at it, okay? Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. Are you with me? Yes, sir. Amen. Okay. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Next verse. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. Next verse. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Next verse. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Next verse. And she brought forth a what? Man child, okay? Now, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Amen. So we see a panorama, it's a picture, okay, of two things happening. A woman, which is a type of the church, you know, pained and traveling, about to deliver a man-child, and the dragon waiting for the child to be delivered so that the child could be devoured. And it's important, if we look at the last verse, verse 5, the last verse we read, Bible says it brought forth a man-child. Now, in the manifold wisdom of God, that means male child. That also means man-child company, in which there is a mature man and there is a child. Amen? In the manifold wisdom of God. So, now, this man-child, this is imminent. The manifestation of the man-child is imminent now. It's what we're waiting for. Amen? Alright? We're not waiting for the rapture. We are waiting to do the work so that the church will be without spot and blemish and every such thing, and then make disciples of all nations, and then we will now go for the rapture. In glory, in style. Amen. And don't miss that part in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is what we're waiting for. And you see that when the man child is to rule all nations. So it's not a baby. Babies don't rule. It is mature men that rule. So that man-child is made up of a mature, fully mature spiritual leadership, and then a fully submitted followership. So that leadership is in cleansing perfection with maturity, and then the followership is fully submitted. Amen. Amen. And it's that father-son company that is fully imminent, that God is about to reveal now. So what we're saying is that God is catching up the growing, you can put it this way, the child, the one that is growing to become like the man. God is catching them up to the throne. Amen. So that they are cocooned in the force field of life. Amen. There is a fourth. Mommy has been talking to us about the fourth field of life. Amen. How many people have heard that? Okay. So it's like God is covering spiritual power coming from God, but channeled to you and I through mature spiritual leadership from the place of intercession. Amen. And that power is, as it were, so they are actually seated on the throne. The man child, the man part is on the throne and is pulling up the child part. As the Bible says, he was caught up to God and his throne. Because the Bible says, he that overcometh will sit with me in my throne. You're looking at me as if I'm making it up. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. All right? Let's put some scripture behind it. Like I'm telling you a story and it's sweet and you're wondering, Pastor. Alright. 21 verse 7, please. Verse 7. Yes. Look at it. Now say, he that overcometh shall do what? It's the same as ruling with the word of iron. Shall inherit all, and I shall be his God, and he shall be my son. So he's talking about somebody who has, Bible says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. It's not talking about someone who is small. It's talking about a human being like you and I who has fully become, as it were, by God's own standard, like God. In nature, in mind, and in character. Those three things. Firstly, in nature. Secondly, in mind. The Bible talks about we have the mind of Christ. That's why I said, in all wisdom. He said that we might present every man in all wisdom. It takes the wisdom of God. I know the wisdom of God. The Bible talks about the many-sided, manifold. So the wisdom of God has many levels. In all wisdom, to and then the character. So that is, so these are the people that, and thank you. But who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay? So we see that there is a mature leadership, of fathers in cleansing perfection. That is, they've cleansed out the sin nature. Then in addition, they have grown into maturity. Because you can be, like you said, normally, like we said, Adam was perfect, but yet he sinned. So you can be perfect, but you can lose that state. Of course, again, in our own case now, we can gain it back. Amen. All right? We can cleanse ourselves with the blood of Jesus, operate the principles of the Christ life, like I spoke about, and cleanse out that sin nature and get back into that state of perfection. Amen. And then from that state, you then begin to grow in maturity, in which you begin to have the mind of Christ, begin to think like God. You begin to understand. Bible says, when I was a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So what are childish things? Thinking like a child and understanding like a child. Amen. So God wants to put away childish things. So what are we saying? We are saying that the man-child company is caught up to God's throne. Amen. So Satan has failed. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Satan has failed. Anything he wants to do, you will feel the pressure, but he will miss the purpose and the intent of what he intended. Amen. Amen. That is the will of God. Amen. So it's not a utopia, that means nothing will happen. The Bible says in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because what? I have overcome more. So we are caught up in that force field. Amen. It doesn't mean you are in heaven. It means on earth there you are cocooned. You are shielded. You are surrounded. You can't be touched. But that force field is also for a reason. After protecting you, after shielding us, after cocooning us, we are now supposed to use that force field to become sons of promise. Amen. We're supposed to use that force field because it's there, it's covering, it's spiritual power. We're supposed to use it to hasten the process of actually becoming a son, so that we fulfill the will of the Father, okay? So, this is important. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Give God a clap of it. Amen. That is great news. God's going to subdue your body. This body that you say, wake up, you will not just sleep, falala. This body that you say, oh yeah, apologize. I'll do it later. This body that you say, oh yeah, let's pray, he will sleep. When you now say, okay, let's watch TV, he will come awake. This same body, you will subdue it. By the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Resurrection power. You will subdue your body, you will subdue your mind. That's the conversation he's talking about. He's not talking about conversation with mouth. He's talking about a way of life. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Let's read it together. Remember them which have the rule over you. They're not there for decoration. Okay? Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their word. Bible says that our confession is in heaven, from whence we look. So the people that you are looking at, you are looking at Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are looking for the Savior. But there are some people in front of you that God has put on the earth, that when you look at them, you will see God in them. They are the ones that you are looking to. And as you look to them and you follow them, then God begins to open your eyes so that you can look to him. So you now see him better. But the first place you even see God at all is through them. Then after, amen, Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. Thank you, sir. Okay? So, but when you follow, then God now opens the eyes of your understanding. So you now begin to see God himself, by Bible says, okay? You begin to learn of God. God begins to talk to you directly because you have been faithful in following people who he has put right in front of you. Amen? Remember, God will have no rebels. He's not going to have any rebels. He's not going to have any lone ranger. I did it by myself. Bible says, who can say, I have cleansed myself from sin? There's nobody. God is making sure that nobody can make that statement. He's making sure. All of us are going to have to say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. If not for Pastor Luby, if not for Mommy Sarah, if not for this person, even for this person, that's the way, so that no man will be able to boast. It's by promise. It's not your effort. You don't earn it. Yes, you overcome, but you are led to overcome. You are led by the Holy Spirit. You are led by human vessels. And both work together to take you to your destiny. Amen. And we're going to get there in Jesus' name. So we're talking about sons of promise. So these sons must, with that false field of life that is available, you must look unto Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence we have been hewn. Amen. And follow them very closely. Amen. Amen. And that conversation, like we said, is a way of thinking, it's a way of talking, it's a way of behaving. When you say conversation, it's old English, but it means we're thinking, talking, and behaving. Right. Okay. Now, the Bible talks about four kinds of sons, and I just thought that we should, you know, look at them very quickly. Four types of sons, you know, and we will choose the good part in Jesus' name. Amen. But it's good to know. So firstly, we can locate where we are, you know, and then you can make up your mind that you can progress and enter into the fullness of your destiny. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to say is that, firstly, you know, you cannot start from 0 to 100. Christianity is not a sprint. It is a marathon. But again, it's a marathon that is timed. And if you are lagging behind at a certain time, then you stand the risk of losing something. Amen. So it's a timed race. You know, they check your time. if you don't, you know, like when they run the Olympics, you know, they're going to be doing the Olympics, you know, very soon, you know. And when they have what they call heats. You run. No, so there are so many contestants from many, many countries. So they put everybody together. You run. And they use the time. They take the best four times. They separate this one. Then they say, yeah, Dubé, come, run again. Then everybody run. Then the next four, put them out. Then, you know, it's time. So they went to Brazil. They ran. But in the end, it's the time. So Bible says, they're therefore limited the time. To every purpose, there is a time. Amen. Okay, so there's time. So God, what I'm doing me, God is waiting on us. Okay, all right. So the first one is a prodigal son. Who is the prodigal son? Oh, of course, we know the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal sons initially accept God's purpose. They accept the promise as revealed to them, but they do not make any commitment to it, any serious commitment to it. Because they don't make any commitment and they don't set their hearts to seek after God, the Bible says that if any man will do his will, he will know. Because they don't seek God with all of their heart, they don't have a revelation of it. So, anytime they are under any little pressure, they reject the promise. Ah, it's too much. What kind of wala is this one? And they just let it go and they reject spiritual discipline that is needed to cultivate godliness. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke 15. Let's look at verses 11 to 16. Luke 15. Thank you. Yes, Isaiah 51, 1 and 2. And he said, a certain man had two sons. You are not reading really Negono. You are not prodigal sons in Jesus' name. And also, let's read it together. All right. Next verse. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Next verse. Notice that the father didn't even argue. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Next verse. And when he had spent some, all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and it began to be in want. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. This is a son. He was giving all. He was giving eternal life. That promise was his, both spirit, soul, and body. But because the father was disciplined, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, to the promise. Thank you. That gate is the gate that takes the promise, is straight and narrow, and he was having none of it. So he did what he liked, did what he wanted, but the Bible says that he wasted the life pursuing his career, making money, which in themselves are not wrong, but you can do it God's way and not necessarily do it as, this is my ambition, I want to be a millionaire by 25. I'm not staying here. I'll apply for a green card. Ah, bro, are you sure it's the will of God? What do you mean? How can it not be the will of God? Does God want me to suffer? But this is the thinking. That's the thinking of the prodigal son. He puts other things on a higher priority than the promise. Amen? So you can understand. All right, verse 16. And he would gladly have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Next verse. And when he came to himself, what made him come to himself? Affliction with the mercy of God. Affliction alone wouldn't have done it. The Father was praying for him. The Father never gave up on him. Amen. Both the Heavenly Father and the Earthly Father that he had dishonored by going away. Love never fails. Give God a clap of it. Amen. Love never fails. It was that brought him back. As far gone as he had gone. Bible says a bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. Until he sends forth judgment unto victory. God wants our sense of judgment to be like his own. Think like him. Understand like him. Talk like him. So, but if you don't want to, because he made us with a free will. Yeah, he will let you do what you want, but you know, you shouldn't take a long time like it took. You shouldn't even go away in the first place. Because you must understand that the Father wants for you more than what you want for yourself. And there's an element of trust there. Amen. Amen. The Father wants for you more than what you want for yourself. The Bible says, God who has given us all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Ah, the Father had plans for him. But he couldn't see afar off, which is a function of immaturity. Because why? Sin nature doesn't allow us to see afar off. The Bible says that if any man be, look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter, let's turn 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Yes. But he that lacketh these things. What are these things talking about? Fruits of the Spirit, which comes from the nature of eternal life. This is character. He that lacketh character. Character is a consequence of the nature. It's when you exercise yourself. You know, in the character of God, by the power that comes, you know, through the nature, you know, then you can acquire the character. Bible says if he lacks his sin, he is what? Blind and cannot see beyond his nose. So your judgment is always short term. Your planning is short term. To you is long term. As far as God is concerned, it's short term. Because God can see afar off. And if you truly look to Abraham and Sarah, you will see them exercise judgment in different situations where you see that the way they judged was afar off. The case in point, Gehazi and Elisha. Elisha knew that it was his right to collect those things from Naaman the Syrian. But it was not the time. There was still going to be time for those things to happen. But Gehazi felt, if you miss it now, you will never come again. Opportunity comes but once. Hey, do it now. That is the voice of the devil. Do it. If you don't do it now, you're going to miss it. If you don't tell your sister now, she will travel and that will be the end. Who said? Wow. Sorry. Hello. That job. If you don't take it, they said they only gave you 2 days to make up your mind. Two days. I can't pray. It's God. Don't worry. It's God. How can God give something bad without praying? Seeing afar off. Amen. That's how we got there. Okay. So we see that. No. So prodigal sons trade the eternal life. They trade the promise for physical things. Look at Mark chapter 8 verse 36. They basically trade. Are we getting something from this? And he sent him away to his house. Mark 8:36. 36. Thank you. All right. For what shall it profit a man if he does what? And lose his own soul. And in any case, is it possible to gain the world? Honestly, can you gain the world? Does Obama have the world? It's a dream. It's a pipe dream. You can't gain the world. You can only gain part of the world. And when you gain it, you will lose your soul. It doesn't even add up. Whereas, if you gained your soul, you would have your part of the world. Amen. To dominate and rule over. Amen. That's God's plan. God wants you to get your soul first, and then your part of the world. Because there's a part that is allotted to you in the world, where you will dominate by the grace of God. Amen. So we see that prodigal sons sacrifice that. Next one is unprofitable sons. Unprofitable sons. So, who are unprofitable sons? Unprofitable sons accept the promise of eternal life to reproduce Christ in their soul and their body. They have an understanding of the importance of it to a certain degree, they do, but they have not made it priority. So it's important. Prodigal sons, they don't even waste time. They just put physical things on top. Okay. However, unprofitable sons, they put some. It's important, but it's not their priority. As a result, because it's not their priority, it limits how far they go in obedience. It limits their understanding, because they don't have revelation to the degree that they should. So instead of serving God, instead of serving men through God, they serve men. They just serve men. Yes, we're supposed to serve men, and it's the will of God for us to serve men, because if you are not faithful in that which is another man's, God will not give you that which is your own. Amen. But you are supposed to serve men with an attitude of submission to God and the man that God has called you to. Amen. But when all you see is the man, then your expectation is for man. And once you don't get something that you think you deserve, you easily get offended. Unprofitable sons. So, basically, how do you know unprofitable sons? They do basically what they have been asked to do. They do what they have been asked to do. They don't even do what they have been asked to do. Because they are not seeing what, they don't have revelation to the degree that they should, because they have put some idols on top of God. They agree that the promise is important, but they have not made it top priority. So you find out that they don't fully dominate the sin nature. So they have little foxes. The Bible calls them little foxes. But you know, like Pastor was teaching us, I think it was last week, you know, there's some sins that are obvious. Like if we talk about sexual impurity, sexual immorality, looking at David and Saul. Pastor was talking about that, contrasting David and Saul. You know, you would look at the life of David and you would say that, this man committed adultery, and he committed murder, you know. And you would not look at the heart. And you would compare with Saul, and he didn't do any of those things. Yet, his own sins were at the heart level. They were sins of stubbornness, sins of rebellion. So you find that unprofitable sons have that difficulty. And a very good example is the older brother of the prodigal son. Look at Luke chapter 15, verses 25-30. Now his elder son, let's read it together. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he had music and dancing. Next verse. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Next. And he said to him, thy brother is come, And thy father had killed the fatted calf, because he had received him safe and sound. Next verse. And he was what? So he didn't want his brother to come back. What kind of heart is that? What kind of heart doesn't want his brother to come back? What kind of heart does it feels angry that somebody who was given up for dead has actually come back and there is some measure of hope for him? That's a competitive heart. That's a wicked heart. If he had his way, he would make sure the brother doesn't come back, so everything can now be his own. But it's at the heart level. He hasn't done anything. He's just there. Next verse. And his father, and he was angry and not going. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. Let's hear what the father told him. Next verse. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends." What was his expectation from? From his father. He was expecting his father to give, to tell. The question now is, why didn't he ask? Couldn't he have asked? He could have asked. So you see that relationship, there is something wrong with that relationship. It's not a wholesome relationship. And like I said, we inherit the promise by relationship. It's by relationship. So we see, and as soon as this thy son is come, which I divided, I leave him, thou hast killed the fatted calf for him, and the father had to talk. Let's hear what the father told him. Verse 31. And he said to him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Next verse. It was meat. Let's read it. It was meat that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was, and is what? Alive again, and was lost, and is found. So he doesn't have the mind of the father. And like we said, the ultimate of the son, of being a son, is to think and talk and act like God the Father. Or firstly, like the Father that God has put for you, and then like God the Father. Amen. So you can see that even though he was a son, he could not inherit what belonged to him. Because we have to inherit. He was unable to inherit. Okay, and that's not the will of God for us. Okay, the next one is profitable sons. Now, profitable sons. Now, this is where we want to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Profitable sons are those who, in a meek and lowly heart, make the promise of perfecting God's love top priority. They fully accept it. Amen. That's the meekness and lowliness of their heart. Amen. And so because they fully accepted and they have made it their top priority, they have a relationship with God. God talks to them. Amen. Amen. We see that example. Little Samuel was in Eli's house. Amen. The story. All right. And he was serving. And the Bible says that even the test that God gave him is a clear example of what was Samuel's habit. At midnight was when God called his name, said Samuel. And I'm honest with myself. Sometimes I ask myself, if God called me at midnight and I was on my bed, honest, would you get up and run? Would you get up and run? It tells you how he had trained his heart. How much discipline he has put himself under. He went and immediately got up and ran. He didn't pretend. Me ogbo. Oh, sorry, it's okay. Emi kolongpe. Hello. Am I being real? The hidden things that are there in our hearts. Amen. So a fully submitted heart. Okay, and you can see that he had that relationship with God, and this is because they make consistent spiritual effort to follow spiritual fathers. Look at Luke chapter 8 verse 15. I'm talking about profitable sons. Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, do what? They do what? Keep it. That talks about spiritual discipline and bring forth fruit with what? Patience and consistency. So profitable sons embrace the discipline. Profitable sons are consistent. No, they are diligent. They grow in diligence and they grow and begin to have the mind of Christ. They begin to think to some degree now like their fathers, like their natural example that God has set before them, and like God our Father. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. Because it takes spiritual discipline and consistency, like I said, the seven pillars of wisdom we mentioned earlier, you know, to remove the sin nature. So it's the removal of that sin nature that now makes them able to be sensitive or perceptive to God's thoughts, to God's ways. Amen. Amen. So that's how that comes about. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. And I beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all, no exceptions, speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together. How? In the same mind and in the same judgment. That's what God is. It's at this point that we begin to be profitable, when God can put his thoughts in your mind and you are able to receive it. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's look at Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8:10-12. So we see we get here by spiritual discipline that we embrace. And this is the covenant, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws where? In their mind, and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Next verse. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Knowing there is a function of the mind. Amen. Verse 12. For I will be what? Merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So that tells you how they got there, the removal of the sin nature. Amen. Okay, so profitable sons go beyond receiving instruction. Look at Luke 17. No, they go the extra mile. Amen. I know when Jesus came, that's what he came to introduce. Amen. Luke 17. Verse 10. Thank you. Alright. So likewise, ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are. We don't like to confess it. Say, you are reading the Bible. We are profitable servants. We have done only that which was our duty. God doesn't want us to stay with duty. God wants us to go beyond duty, to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. To discern those things that are pleasing in his sight, and then to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. Amen. So that's the will of God. And a very good example here is the example of Isaac in Genesis 22:7-11. Let's look at that. Genesis 22:7-11. And Isaac spoke unto his father, to Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? It's a very serious question. Next verse. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So went both of them together. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham did what? Built an altar. And did what? Laid the wood in order. And did what? And laid him upon the wood. What was Isaac looking at? Do you think that this was something that Abraham forced him to do? No. Isaac went beyond the call of duty. Isaac was willing to lay down his life. Isaac was willing. He did this by revelation. He didn't do this by himself. He just did it, you call to me. He actually got a revelation. So he talks about the submission of his heart. Amen. He talks about his own relationship with God. He talks about him going the extra mile. He had already asked before. I see the wood, I see the rope, but I don't see the lamb. And then all of a sudden, he becomes the lamb. I mean, put yourself in his shoes. Would you stay? So you can. It tells you that the sin, that Isaac had a relationship with God. And Isaac allowed himself, yielded himself to be bound. In fact, you know, the truth is that Isaac was not just bound by the cords that Abraham used to tie him. He was bound by the training that Abraham had given him. Amen. Amen. That training was in the Bible says, train up your child in the way he should go. That's the training that the prodigal son rejected. But this is the training that brought Isaac from being from growing from a spiritual baby to becoming profitable. A profitable son. A son worthy of inheriting the promise. Amen. And that's going to be our portion in Jesus' name. Now, so profitable sons are perfect, but they're not mature. In the sense that because of their practice of the principle of perfection, they've cleansed out the sin nature, but they're not fully mature in wisdom and having the fullness of the character of God. And then we come to the final category, which is beloved sons. Amen. And that's where we are going in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved sons. Who are beloved sons? Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 10. Yes. Let's read together. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have what? Suffered a while. Make you what? Perfect, established, strengthened, and said to you. Next verse. To whom be what? To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So, beloved sons are those who, by reason of exercise and practice, are strengthened and settled, established in God's character. Cleansing perfection with maturity, and they are poised to inherit the glory. To whom be glory and dominion. Amen. In addition, their spirit is a channel through which God pours out into the earth his power. Amen. Right? So that's they provide covering. Look at Isaiah 32, verse 1. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in what? Righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Verse 2. And a man shall be what? As a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's talking about that man providing spiritual power that God is using on the earth. Amen. Amen. So that's what who beloved sons are, you know, and Jesus was an excellent example of a beloved son. Look at John 10:30. This is the characteristics of beloved sons. John 10:30. Amen. God will take us there in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, I and my Father are one. One. Oneness in the fullness of nature. Oneness in mind. Oneness in character. Amen. And we thank God for our spiritual fathers in the house. You know, Pastor and Mommy, thank God for you. We see that how God is taking them closer and closer to this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to see the glory break out in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, why is it important that we understand this principle of sonship and promise? The first thing that we need to understand is sonship is a journey. It's a journey that we make. Okay? And that journey, we must understand that there is a destination. What is the destination of that journey? Look at John 5:19-20. John 5:19-20. Then answered Jesus, let's read it again, and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of what? Himself. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he seeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So you don't do what God did not show you. You do only what God has shown you. And that's where God, that's why you see Jesus, when the Pharisees were provoking him, he didn't say anything. Until God then said, okay, you can talk, in Matthew 23. You see, you know, it's very important that control, you know, of seeing and doing. Seeing and doing is extremely important. So sons are not blind. They have to see. We have to see. It's the will of God for us to see. And that's the destination, to see everything the Father is doing. First, the Father in heaven, and then spiritual fathers. The Bible says, whatsoever things that you have heard and seen and learned of our spiritual fathers, these you see them do. You understand from them. You see it and you copy it. Amen. That's the will of God. You are supposed to copy those things. You see it and then you copy it. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Okay? Okay? And so we can ultimately be like Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's Mark 1:1. The next thing is that sonship begins with heart submission to spiritual fathers. So you need to know who they are. It's extremely important. Look at Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17. Thank you. Let's read it together. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must what? Give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So you are going to become a son by following sons. Amen. Amen. Okay, so that's extremely important. You know, Bible in 1 Peter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's also look at that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a very important scripture. So you can identify those people. Chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren. So he's begging us now to do what? To know them which labor among us and are over us in the Lord, and what? Admonish you. Next verse. And to what? Esteem them very highly in love. for their works. That is, how do you esteem them? He's qualified it. How do you esteem them very highly? You esteem them very highly by loving them. You esteem them very highly by loving them. You must let your love grow and be without guile. You must let your love grow and be fervent, be hot. It's not love from afar. It's love that grows. So it's qualified. You can't do it the way you want. You have to do it the way the Bible says. And it says, and be at peace among yourselves. Amen? Okay. So we see that sonship is a destination, and we see that it's a destination of complete obedience. It begins with heart submission, and it involves a complete change of nature. We quoted that earlier on 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, where it says that let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfect the holiness. So sonship is an exchange of nature, a total removal of the satanic nature or the Adamic nature and replacing it with the nature of God. Amen. And then, of course, that sonship journey is being timed. There is a time. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Okay, sonship is we don't have all the time, and so we need to redeem it the time. Let's read it now, verse 1. Now I say that the heir... You know, that's what we said in the first scripture we read, which is Hebrews chapter 6. We talked about heirs of promise. So now he's talking to us. It says that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Next verse. But is under tutors and governors. Until when? The time appointed of the Father. So there's a time. There's an appointment. So yeah, you must not be late. Amen. All right, next verse. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of what? It's talking about the sin nature. Okay, it's talking about sin nature there. Okay, so it's important. And we know that perfection, like we said earlier, the nature of sin removed from our souls and our bodies, is achievable in 3 years. Look at Luke 13, verse 32. It's achievable in 3 years. Luke 13, 32. Let's just look at this briefly. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected. Okay, so it's a day for a year. We know that from Numbers 14, 34. Okay, so it's a day for a year. So we know it's achievable. But cleansing, perfection, and maturity is possible. Look at Jesus. He did it in 18 years, from age 12 to age 30. And then we look at the type of Joseph, Genesis 37, to who did it in 21 years. So you have that time frame for maturity. Okay, but the key is we can enter perfection in 3 years of diligent practice of the perfection principles. Amen. And that's the will of God for us. So the essence of this message is really to, you know, spur yourself on and find out, first of all, locate, you know, where exactly am I, you know, what am I doing, and how can I improve where I am. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. Now, how do we change this? How do we improve? How do we step up? How do we get closer to the end that God has ordained for us? The first thing that, you know, is important to understand is that we need to use our spiritual weapons, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to use them diligently. Amen. We need to use them diligently and use them and focus on wrong mindsets and habits, which we call grave clothes. You know, you need to focus on wrong mindsets and habits so that, you know, you can, having understood now that God has ordained us to being conformed to the image of Jesus, we now have to remove everything, every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. Amen. and now run with patience that race that is set before us. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 to 12. And we see this in a way in the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1, start from verse 6. This is how Jeremiah saw himself. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Next verse, God corrected him. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Next verse. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Next verse. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have done what? Words were in thy mouth. Amen. Next verse. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. The nations are here in the manifold wisdom of God. The nations here, imaginations, the kingdoms, the infirmities, those grave clothes, they are here in the mind. And to do what? Root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, and then in its place to do what? Build and plant. So you pull down the effects of the sin nature, and then by the divine nature, you build the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. That's the will of God. Next verse, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, you should put your name there. Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. After you have pulled down the strongholds, or as you are pulling them down, you will now build a new hope. You will now build a new picture. Amen. You will now build of who God wants you to be. And that vision makes you run to be able to achieve it. Amen. So you begin to see, do not see through a glass darkly anymore. You begin to see face to face. You begin to see more clearly. Because you are pulling down those nations, you are rooting them out, you are throwing them down, you are destroying them, so that they don't come up again. This is spiritual work. Amen. And he said, I see the rod of an almond tree. Next verse. And then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast what? Well seen. For I will do what? Hasten my word to perform it. Amen. It is the will of God for us to see what God is saying. See yourself how God sees you. Like mommy said to me a few days ago. See yourself how God sees you. And then God is able to fulfill what you see. What we see is very important. It's very important. And we have to keep asking God to help us to keep seeing what He wants us to see. Amen. Amen. It's very important, okay? So we now run our race with diligence. So, of course, we've said this, so just to go over it again, submit to spiritual authority. It's very important, okay? Then we cleanse our consciousness by confessing our sins and cleaning with the blood. I just want to say something here. This is important. You know, it's so easy to get into a place where we do it mechanically and we rob ourselves of the consciousness that is supposed to provide. There's a consciousness of the fact that, one, I am dependent on God. Amen. For my righteousness. My righteousness is not a record of how well I've been doing in my mind. That is very important. So every minute, it's like a new sheet. You get a new sheet every moment. As frequently as you confess your sins. Father, I confess my sins, and so I clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, I have life. It does something in your consciousness. Amen. And makes you more dependent on God. Or make you more aware. That's the word. Aware of the fact that you are actually dependent on God. You're not doing it by yourself. Otherwise, you can just parrot the words, you know, and you would think that, oh, yes, it happened because I said it. Not so much so that it was the grace of God working through you. Next thing is to put the word of God in your heart and mouth. We see that from the example of Jeremiah. No, put God's word in our heart and mouth. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. And God said I should read this. Proverbs 4 verses 5 to 9. Bible talks about in all wisdom. Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Next verse. Says what? Forsake her not, and she shall what? Preserve thee. The wisdom of God from the word of God will preserve you and I from sin. It will preserve us in a time of temptation. Amen. It's extremely important. You know, there's a prayer we pray, you know, that God doesn't allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. But with the temptation, he makes a way of escape. So, there's a prayer we pray, you know, that mommy coin. You know, it says, wisdom to find the way of escape, and then strength to follow in that way of escape. Amen. Because the fact that there's a way of escape doesn't mean you know what it is. You need wisdom. Wisdom is the one that the Bible says wisdom is profitable to direct. Okay? So wisdom directs us. Okay? And she shall keep you. So it's love her and she shall keep you. These are levels of commitment to God's word. Forsake her not is one level of commitment. It will bring you preservation. But loving her will take you a step further. It will keep you. Amen. Next verse says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Next verse. Exalt her, and she will what? Promote thee. See? He's taking it higher. And she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Verse 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. May we have our crown of glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see the importance of God's word. And then praying all, we said that praying with all types of prayer in the spirit. No, we won't spend long here. We know about that. Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 to 5. What I was just saying earlier on. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 to 5. Praying in the spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Next verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. So it's that travailing prayer that does that work in the soul. Amen. And makes us true sons. Amen. Makes us grow as sons. Amen. And then finally, learning to depend on the Holy Spirit, really by acknowledging Him frequently so He can lead us in the place of obedience. Amen. Obedience is not something, the fact that we pray doesn't automatically, I'm sure you've experienced it. How many people have experienced it? That the fact that you pray, sometimes the day you pray is the day you misbehave the most. Amen. Is that the will of God? Is that the will of God? How come? Why is that? Because your confidence was in the prayer. And God was trying to show you that it's not by power, it's not by might. How is it? By might. So we have to learn. We have to learn to acknowledge God. You know, and it's something that you have to learn. We must all learn it. And one thing I have seen the fathers do. One thing I've seen the fathers do is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just thank you. Thank you means that there is somebody who is maintaining you where you are. It's not you. And yes, you do the confession. Yes, but yes, you pray. But if the person doesn't add to what you're doing would not ever, ever be enough. And that dependence on the Holy Spirit is what makes us more sensitive to Him. Amen. So we can be led by Him. Look at Proverbs 3. verses 5 to 6. We know it, but it's just good to put us in remembrance. It says, trust in the Lord with what? That's the key part now. All thy heart. That's the thing. All thy heart. Not some. Not most. Not a third. All thy heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. What does it say? Next verse. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So when you are thanking him, and you are saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, help me. Lord, thank you. You see that the Holy Spirit then is able to lead you and lead me moment by moment, day by day. I like the way Pastor put it. Once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, and then in every temptation. So you can actually, when in your mind, and this is where, when we pray, everything must happen in your mind. You are building something. Remember, having pulled down and thrown down and destroyed and removed all what Satan has done, you must not leave your mind blank. We have to build and plant the word of God. Amen. By practice. By exercise. Amen. And when we exercise, then what the Bible says comes to be true. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 to 6. As we close. Galatians 5. For we, I don't hear you. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Next verse. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, that is doing the works, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? Faith which worketh by love. It's the Holy Spirit that then leads us into a love walk. Let us pray. Sons of promise. God wants us to lay hold on that hope and then build and plant in your soul, your will, your mind, your emotions, the divine nature. Add to your faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance. A diligent, circumspect walk in the Spirit. Depending more and more on the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Rededicate yourself to making sure that this promise that's been set before us is top priority. And aim to see what God is doing in every situation. Aim to do what God is doing. Don't talk from yourself. Let the Holy Spirit lead and help us. Stop looking at the wrong thing. Look at that hope. Anything we desire will ultimately come in its time. But that hope, this hope does not disappoint. You can see it coming to pass day by day. Week by week. So it encourages you. thanksgiving. Thank God. Acknowledge Him. Depend on Him. Hope in Him. He knows the way. He knows the next thing. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus under the covering of our spiritual fathers. Thank you for your word that has come to us today, showing us that it is your will to take us from where we are and to transform us into beloved sons in whom you are well pleased. Sons that inherit the promise of eternal life. I thank you, Father, because you have made available the blood and the word and the spirit. You have set before me Abraham and Sarah, whom I can follow into my destiny. So I ask you for fresh mercy to enable me to be submissive to those in authority, to be diligent in my obedience to instruction, to cultivate a closer and more intimate, dependent relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, that by these things I will learn your ways, I will be one with you, I will allow the purpose of the kingdom to be top priority in my mind and in my soul, and I will work out my salvation with fear and with trembling. Help me, Father, to be faithful to the very end. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's pray the Spirit. Ronimai, Meko, Raka, Yuambe, Roniando, Rosicalea, Rapapa, Benelobo, Renelevesa, Renelevea, Rapa Candele, Ropa Comandea, Janonobos, Renelevea, Rodebela, Matobosea, Jeffrey Kekokan, Mene de Pedicacan. In Jesus' name, amen.